and welcome to the Mr. Olin podcast. As usual, my name is Jacob Staton, and as usual, I'm joined by JJ Armstrong. JJ, how are you?
Fed up, Jacob. The wheels have come off. I'm absolutely fed up
with this football club.
The game's finished. What time did it finish? An hour ago?
I'm done with it. How are you, Jacob?
I'm not as bad as that. I can safely say that. I think objectively, I can look at it now and say a 1-0 away loss to a team chasing Europe probably isn't that bad. We'll get into the game and discuss the few things there were to discuss because not much happened. But yeah, I am okay, thank you. I'm okay.
The reason I'm fed up, Jacob, is because you talk about a team chasing Europe, but we keep getting told it's a good time to play these teams. So always a good time to play these teams. It was a good time to play Liverpool last week. It's a good time to play Brighton today. But both times, we've lost a 0-0 game, 1-0. And that's why I'm fed up with football.
Both times. That's why I'm fed up with it. 0-0 games. Good time to play them. 0-0 games. Forest managed to lose it 1-0. So, fed up.
So, let's move this misery fest onto the starting 11. I like to think that I understood immediately what Nuno was trying to do with the starting 11. It was clearly going to be much more of a low block, keeping the game. They're going to have lots of possession, so we don't want to waste all our fast players and pace early on. But I know you took a bit of umbrage with the starting 11, didn't you, JJ?
I did, because I just don't understand it. I get, as you said, I understand that method of thinking, but we're at a point in time now where that isn't our strength. We're a team that's relatively known for sloppy defending and not being able to hold teams unless we play our sort of best 11. And I know it makes no sense considering I said we lost 0-0, 1-0, but I just think in these type of games, we need to play to our strengths, which is largely, at the minute, our main chance of getting anything is to try and score more than the other team, as daft as it sounds, because we know we're going to concede, but put the best players on the pitch to give us a chance of scoring, which we went for a run where you could say, whatever happens, I know we're going to score. It's just how many we concede. So I took Professor Umbridge against it because I just didn't get it. I thought we're running out of time now. We need a result. It's a good time to play Brighton. Why don't we play our strongest side that can just go at it from minute one? The reason I'm a bit fed up is because I'm really tired of watching Forest go down and then try and then go for it or go for it too late. And then at the end of the game, you're almost walking away going, we definitely could have got something from that. And I'm not saying this was a must win. I'm not saying it's a should win, but it was definitely a could win. And at the end of it, it was a could win. So I just don't understand why we can't just attack the game from minute one. And they are a good side. They have good players, but they are hit with injuries. They have just been beaten. They have been in poor form. I know they've been good at home, but this was a chance for us to play our strongest way, which is counter-attacking on purpose with pace as we sort of tried to finish the game. I just don't understand why we didn't start with Taiwo, Hudson-Odoi and Alanga. I just didn't understand it.
Yeah, and I get that whole, start with your best team. Nuno's possibly overthinking it a bit too much, but I thought by and large in the first half it worked. We nullified their threat. They had a lot of the ball, obviously, as they always do. And I could only really see them scoring a goal, in which they did, which was a shocker, JJ. It was another avoidable set-piece goal, wasn't it?
I messaged you before it saying this is one of those games where you can just tell we're sloppy at the back and are going to concede from a set piece, and we managed to do 2-1. Yep. And you talk about them looking like the only time they'll score or do anything threatening is through us gifting them a goal through a set piece. And that's exactly why I think we should have played our strongest 11, because Brighton did not have to get out of second gear today. They did not have to try. They beat us without even having to really lay a glove. We did it ourselves. And that's why, once again, we've been beaten by a team that's not had to try. And had we had our starting 11 on, I think that game's there for the taking.
Yeah. It's hard to do. So I'm gonna stick with my support of what Nuno was trying to do, but I you know, I'm not gonna deny that we probably should have played our strongest team to start off with. The goal itself, it looks very clumsy, but I think Amabamadeli has to put a head on it, and Sells did very good this game, coming out and punching. So I think they both try to do the right thing. It just looks a lot clumsier than it actually was. God bless him for trying to claim that he was being fouled.
Yeah. Sometimes you've just got to pretend, because it looked like a calamity. I don't think it was as much as it looked. I don't think it was as calamitous as it looked. But
I think without VAR, you could have got a twitchy referee to give that as a foul. I think you definitely, you know, like in a championship game, that kind of thing. You could have played up a bit more, and because that was probably the plus side of VAR. The referee goes, I don't think it is, but VAR is going to check it anyway, so he gives it a goal rather than panic, you know, thinking, oh, foul on the keeper type thing.
Yeah, what is the point of earlier in the season being told we're getting a set piece coach? Because I'm yet to see. I tricked myself into thinking that we were starting to see some improvements in terms of delivery. We had in the first half, we had a free kick, which you could identify for any other team as a dangerous free kick. It certainly wasn't dangerous for us. I think Nico took it, I believe, and it was just in and out. It was done. Yeah. There was no threat to it at all, and I didn't feel any threat to it. I didn't get excited when we were given it. And any other team, you think, oh, they could trouble here, or at least threaten, but there was nothing. And there was one in the second half as well. Again, nothing. So not only is it the offensive set pieces, it's the defending set piece as well. I just don't understand. It's a simple part of the job. As a football team, you should expect to defend and attack set pieces, and we're just so weak in both areas. I just don't understand it. Again.
Yeah. I've just seen something funny. I'm watching the stream come up on BBC for the Man City Liverpool game. Liverpool fans just tweeted in saying, times like these, you wish you had Origi on the bench. You don't. So then we go into half time. I think coming out for the second half, I think maybe surprised we didn't make at least one change. You know, I suppose apart from the goal in Nuno's head, the plan's probably working, isn't it? So persist with it. And then, in my opinion, and I'm open to disagreeing comments, JJ, I think the second half we were a lot stronger, creating some chances, getting the right people on the ball, maybe just not quite committed in the right areas. But I think it was certainly an upturn in performance in the second half.
I'm not saying
we were brilliant, by the way. I'm not saying we were brilliant. I'm just saying we were better. Try a bit more purposeful.
Purposeful up until when it counted, I think, is probably a better way of saying it, because the amount of times we worked the ball well out wide, and then just a feeble ball that was hit weakly and poorly to just a Brighton player, and that was it. Job's done for them. They didn't have to get out of second gear. They didn't have to really defend. We would just attempt to put the ball in. It would go low on the ground, very, very feebly hit, and that's it, done. That's what it felt like to me. If you watch it back, it probably happened two or three times, and I'm dramatising it, but that's just what it felt like. It felt like we had no cutting edge, although we worked the ball well, and looks like a good team could capitalise on this and threaten. I just don't think we provided anything. Certainly better, but not good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we get to the yellow card incident, JJ. I mean, seeing it first off, I can understand why the referee gave a yellow. You know, they're not able to see everything. They don't have eyes in the back of the head. They are human beings, so I understand why he gave a yellow card. However, with the advent of VAR, How on earth has he not even just been sent to look at it again? Not saying that they have to tell him to overturn it. Let him go make his own mind up. What? What? I don't. He could literally have broken. I think it was Neco Williams, wasn't it? He could literally have broken his leg, literally. And I think the one thing that maybe saves Jakob Moda, wasn't it? Was that it was 1 foot, not two. I think that's the only thing that saves him on VAR. But then again, I just don't know what counts as a red card anymore. I don't know what counts as a dangerous tackle. Because if that's not a dangerous tackle, then we're going to have legs broken every week.
If Neco Williams' foot was planted, he's in trouble. He's in real trouble there. And what happens if his foot's planted and his bones sticking out his leg, do VAR look at that and go, it's just one leg, he's fine, that's not dangerous. No, okay. It was a bad tackle, it was a dangerous tackle, and we're lucky that it wasn't a lot worse. What is the point of VAR? If someone's there to look at the event after it with multiple cameras, multiple angles, and get to decide with replays, the benefit of replays, I add this to the list of things I just don't understand from this game, or in football in general, and it's dampening my spirit for the game. I said after the Liverpool game, I'm getting fed up with football at the minute, and this is just another thing. It's not the reason we lost. Nowhere even close to being. We weren't good enough. We were poor. But it's a thing that could have changed the game, and then you add into the speculative element of what could have happened.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I look at the John McGinn one that happened earlier in the Spurs v Villa game. It was a bit silly. He legged him up. It was a straight red. If VAR has obviously confirmed that, I guess not clear and obvious, but this one was so much more dangerous, and VAR have had the benefit to look at it and have said, it's fine, agree with the on-field decision. Like you say, at least send the referee to the monitor. At least let him have a second look. Every football fan that is watching it that has the same benefit of replays, if you're not in the ground watching on TV, they have the same benefit of replays as these people, can watch it and say, that is a red card. And everyone understands it, but the people in charge of making the decisions, because they're only interested in protecting their mates. And fair play to Brighton fans. I've seen multiple say, what on earth? That's a red card. I think one of them said they have a chant that says, De Zerbi's right, the ref is shy, and said, if I hear any Brighton fans sing that again, I will show them that video, because we've got away with that one. All the Brighton fans saying they've got away with it. And then, as is often the case, as has happened multiple times, the manager just subs them off. They get a chance. They're on a yellow. There should have been a red. And then the manager takes them off straight away. Fed up.
Sorry, I'm really enjoying that. I'm really enjoying that chant.
It's a good chant.
I agree. It's not the reason we lost, but it could have been the reason we got something out of the game. That's the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah, because we know the thing is, we know how good Forest are against 10 men, so we would have won. Like you say, it's another thing that could have changed the game.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody would look at that tackle. And this is not. I think there are even Derby fans that would look at that tackle and think that's a red card. That's how clear cut it is.
If a Forest player had done it, what would you say? You'd go,
what are you doing? I might with my glass half full try and say it was only 1 foot, but that's just me trying to make it not a red card to Forest type thing. But yeah, the clowns in the cabin have struck again, haven't they? And yeah. I think it's fair to say we're getting ticked off of it, JJ.
Absolutely.
We then make some really positive changes. You don't think bringing Neilanga and Tywell, you don't think bringing three forward players is...
Yeah, they're positive. But if you're 1-0 down, you take Gibbs White off for Koyate. How's that positive?
I'm getting that to Joshua.
Okay,
come on there.
Okay.
So we make three positive changes. Nico Dominguez, Ryan Yates, and I can't remember who the one is. They come off, and we basically go to a 4-4-2, don't we, with Gibbs White and Sangare came on as well, didn't he? With Sangare, Gibbs White at central midfield, Hudson-Odoi and Alanga down the wings with Taiwo and Chris Wood up front. And we're starting to make a little bit of something happen. They are catches on the counter. Tarik Lamptey is wildly fast. Neco Williams again, by the way. What a great game. And then he takes our only playmaker off, gives White for Chiku Kouyaté, this is nothing against Chiku Kouyaté, who I think has actually been pretty decent for Forest since he's been with us, but I was looking when Kouyaté was coming on, thinking, who is he going to take off? Thinking it might be Chris Wood and push Gibbs White further forward. And no, it was Morgan Gibbs White. I think for Morgan Gibbs White to be effective, he has to be on the pitch for the whole game. That's my opinion. He could come up with a piece of brilliance at any point, couldn't he? Whether it's the first 10 seconds or the last 10 seconds. He definitely didn't today, but he definitely could have done if he'd have stayed on the pitch.
I completely agree with that. Gibbs White frustrated me today. Would I have taken him off? No. No chance. Because as you say, he's the one with the ability to turn just one ball, a moment of magic, and that's it. And we finally have pace on the pitch. He can unlock that. Add it to the list, Jacob, of things I just don't understand. Because I think that's such a bizarre substitution. Does Nuno want to go or something? Is he thinking, well, bugger it. Nothing against Kouyaté. I criticised him before, or when Cooper named him in his starting 11 out of the blue, I thought, what on earth is that all about? And he played for the shirt, and I really value that. But I just don't think this was the right time for him to come on. I think if we're seeing it out of the game, maybe you could justify it. But when you're chasing the game, the team's not really got out of second gear. Why take off Gibbs White? Don't get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that basically concludes the game, because it was 6 minutes of extra time, and despite lots of Brighton time wasting, we only got like another 50 seconds, which is another thing I don't understand. But yeah, we didn't do anything, did we? They killed the game really effectively, and whenever we got the ball, we did our best to give it back to them. So that was the end of that game, JJ. And I think the positives I'm taking from it are Brighton are a good team. We were away at them. We did four. The only goal they could score was an own goal. So, you know, there is that. You summed it up perfectly earlier. It's another 0-0 that we've lost 1-0. And it just, these odd points, if we got a point today and a point against Liverpool, where there's just a cushion that's built up, isn't there? We're not winning these games, but we're just adding a little points in. And I think that could cost us in the end, JJ.
Absolutely. I think it brings us on nicely to our next segment, where it's looking, at the minute, as you can probably tell through my tone for this episode, I'm feeling pretty bleak about the prospect of pretty the rest of the season. It is pretty caring, yeah. We face Luton next week, which is beyond a big game, even more so now. If Luton win in midweek with their game in hand, I believe they play Bournemouth, then we are in the relegation zone due to goal difference. I think that's the case. Either way, if Luton lose but then beat us next week, I think that's when we do enter the relegation zone. So it's looking like one of those where we need to look ahead and try and plot our course for either survival or accept our fate and agree today that we're getting relegated. I certainly feel like the latter as of right now, as an emotional person straight off the back of a poor 0-0 defeat. So what we're going to do is we're going to look ahead to the next game. Jacob's going to read it out one by one. We're both going to say how we foresee that game going, and then at the end of that, we're going to tot up our points tally and see where we get to. And we're going to be, Jacob, don't be two glass half full, be realistic.
Realistic. So starting off with an away trip to Kenilworth Road, which is Luton. JJ, I'll let you go first.
Loss. I can't see us winning it.
Okay, you writing these down?
I am.
I'm going to say a draw. I'll say 1 point. Next up at the City Ground is Crystal Palace at home.
Big W.
It's got to be a win. That game has to be a win. Followed by a visit from Fulham, the City Ground, JJ.
Draw.
I'm saying a draw as well. 1 point. Then there's a trip to the worst named stadium in the world, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. JJ?
What I'll say is, if you're listening, try and play along and see what points tally you get up to. It'll be interesting, an interesting exercise, but I'm going for a loss here.
For a loss. I'm going for a loss as well. I you know, even the glass half full of me can't change that. When we do our group, we and JJ in a group that does our predictions for the Premier League each week. I will still be putting anything other than a loss for that game, but I can't see it while we're talking on it. Next up, we have Wolverhampton Wanderers at home.
Joshua?
Loss. I think I said I think I word that as a point for me.
Okay.
Has to be a point. Has to be a point.
So, Forest, one win in the last eight games, bad run of form. So far, in our next five games, you've got us down as three draws and a win.
I'd love to see it, Jacob.
We're only a VAR away, mate. We are only a VAR away.
From Wolves onwards, our remaining fixtures in the sort of home and away column read. Ha, ha, ha. And I think that sums up perfectly.
Sensational. So then we've got a trip to Goodison. I don't think it's the last trip to Goodison, is it? I think they've got another one next season. Is that right? They're still there next season. They're not at Bramley Moor Dock or whatever it is, are they?
Who knows? But I'm going for a win. I'm going for a win.
A win away at Everton. I went for a point.
Okay.
Point. Next up is Manchester City at home.
That has to be
L. We don't have Cooper Magic to get us over the line in that one. Then we have a trip to Bramall Lane. Oof, got ahead of myself there. Sheffield United away. That has to be a win, JJ.
Has to be a win. They're looking dreadful. They're looking like, if there was not another team in close proximity, having only got 11 points, I think you'd identify them as the worst Premier League team I've ever seen. So, has to be a win.
Has to be a win. Then we have a visit from Chelsea, which is our last home game of the season.
I think we'll have the crowd really up for it here. This isn't that positive, but I'm going for a draw here just because we'll know what we'll need. We'll need points. The crowd will be up for it. It's the last home game of the season. For that reason, I'm going to go for a hopeful draw.
I'm going to go for a draw as well. I think Chelsea are a team in flux, which has been well discussed by all other general football podcasts. I actually think Chelsea are as bad as everybody likes to make out. I just think they've had a lot of change and they've got a lot of young players. But they tend to do better against the better teams, which I don't think we'd count ourselves one off, JJ, do you?
Wasn't listening. So, yes. Whatever you said.
Attention deficit disorder in full flow. So, I'm going to say draw.
Chelsea.
Yeah. And then the last game of the season is a trip to Turf Moor. Which I've been to Turf Moor away before, and somebody on the coach, on the official coach, said that as we're driving, as you wind through, as you get into Burnley, looked out the window and said, "This looks like a great place to hide a dead body." So there's that. A point, JJ. Point.
Point. Interesting. Okay. Point. So let me just top these up. So I've gone for a win against Palace, a draw against Fulham, a win against Everton, a win against Sheffield United, a draw against Chelsea, and a win against Burnley. That adds me up to 14 points, which brings us lovely to the 38-point margin as we currently sit on 24 points. Jacob has predicted a draw, a win, a draw, another draw, another draw, a win, a draw, a draw, which brings him to 12 points. I don't understand how I've come out of this the most positive.
So you think we're currently on 24 points. You think we're going to get more than half of our points again?
Well, no, I don't. I don't agree with myself.
There are a lot of honestly winnable games, point gettable games in that list. So I'll retract that comment. We're not playing. Well, we look at that. We're only really playing Spurs and City as heavy hitters. Chelsea maybe. So there's no reason why we can't. We should be getting points in these games. we would be targeting these games, wouldn't we?
If you factor in these games, including Luton, Palace, Everton, Sheffield United, Burnley, you know, they're games you have to target. Plus, Fulham at home is definitely winnable, even though we both put it down as a draw. Chelsea at home, they're not the team that they should be. So, I guess maybe it could change your thinking around into thinking that the run-in is actually maybe favourable, but it's ours to throw away. But obviously, the thing is the points deduction. That's what's looming over. And apparently I feel optimistic, but in reality, I don't feel optimistic whatsoever.
If you actually look at how we did again in these games last season, we actually only lost two of them. I'm not including, because we played three promoted teams, aren't we, in there? So Palace at home, we won last game before the World Cup. Jacob Quarty was actually fantastic in that game. Fulham at home, we lost. Spurs away, we lost. Wolves at home was a draw, I want to say. Everton away was a 1-1 draw. City at home was a 1-1 draw. And Chelsea was a 2-2 draw. So they're all based on last season, there's points there.
Yeah, but I think the main thing is there's points there if we don't walk about, essentially. If we play our strongest 11, we don't concede sloppy set-piece goals, there's points there.
I still think the performance has improved on the Nuno. I'm still firmly Cooper's man, shall we say. But that's just because he gave us the best of times, I think. But I still think we've seen an upturn in performance. We just haven't seen an upturn in results.
Yeah, but he's brought in to get an upturn in results.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying. If we were to turn around and get 14 points from these games, I wouldn't be surprised, because we've seen an upturn in performance. We just then get the results to go alongside them. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Is that our best under Nuno? I think as I always said, Nuno makes me think we can go to any of these games and get something with the way we are at our best. But at our worst, we lose every single one of them. Our ceiling and floor is so variable. We've got a bloody mortgage rate as a form, because at our best, we can beat anyone, and at our worst, we can get battered by anybody.
Well, Arsenal at home, I think we played very well. Brentford away, I think we deserved a point from that game. Next game. This is including Newcastle and United pre-Christmas as well, pre-New Year as well. Villa, we were atrocious, weren't we? Particularly first half. West Ham at home, sensational. Newcastle at home, I think we deserved a point. Bournemouth away, got the point we deserved, I think. And then Liverpool last week, I think we deserved a point minimum.
But this is why I'm fed up with the season, though, because it's all we deserve something, should have been that. Referee decision cost us that. Bit of cheating here from Ivan Toney cost us that. Referee decision again for Liverpool. It's all shoulda, woulda, couldas. I don't know who sang that song, so I can't make a joke about it, but that's what it comes down to at the end of the season. It's should have, could have, would have, with a looming decision off the pitch, and I just feel disillusioned at the moment with the both football and the club, because I'm just not enjoying it. I just want this season to be done. Whatever league we're in next season, I just bring it on. Let's have a fresh start, because I am fed up. And I'm interested to know, obviously, it's raw at this time, given that we've just seen it happen. So tomorrow I'll wake up and I'm sure I'll be completely fine. But it's interesting to know how other Forest fans are feeling. Is anyone else feeling so disillusioned and bleak, or are people still thinking we can turn this around? Let us know. Be interested to find out, because Jacob, I'm sure you're on the other side of it.
I think I'm just being more objective, because I think in my head, if we're not going to win this match, I still want to see a positive something from the performance, and I still think we are, by and large, getting something from the performance. You know, we still got a reaction in the second half. we didn't create enough chances and that kind of thing, and the and extra how it performed in extra time again was worrying for me. But we're still, you know, look at Liverpool last week. We were the team pressing for the winner in the last 10 minutes. We were the team, you know, we played really well on the counter attack and that kind of thing. So I'm still feeling that we can get something, but yeah, it's my comment on 100% think we'll still be up is no longer 100% yet.
What percentage are you at now then? That's an interesting one, because you did say a few weeks ago we're 100% staying up.
61%.
I mean, that still technically is very positive, because
is it?
You're saying we've got more of a chance of staying up than not.
I think, yeah, but... of course, we're not in the relegation, is it?
Well, I think it's bleak.
I'm not saying it's not, but it was never going to be, was it, this season? Let's be honest.
Yeah, the points deduction is the main thing for me. That changes everything. That changes everything. So,
were we meant to hear about it on Thursday, or is it this Thursday coming now?
I believe it was this Thursday. So I think we find out the decision on Thursday, so ahead of the Luton game, but then get a chance to appeal it before a set date. And I believe
it's
going
beyond the Premier League. That could go beyond, is it the 26th of May? Is it something like that?
Yeah, I'm sure they said that the appeal outcome will be known post-season, it felt like. It's all a mess. I mean, if it's gone well and the decision is there is no points deduction, you've got a fine or a suspended sentence, then happy days. You go into Luton with a bit of energy and think, yeah, let's do it. Let's just put this to bed and not go into the last few games of the season worrying. But if it's a points deduction, or we'll only need 3 at this point to put us in the relegation zone, I think, given Luton's points tally and goal difference.
I think we've got one goal better, haven't we? Are we one goal better?
Okay. It only needs to be 3 points for us to be right up amongst it. Anything further puts us in the relegation zone. So, you know, that added pressure ahead of a Luton game, I think, changes a lot as well. So, I guess it's all speculative until we find out the result. Obviously, hope it's gone well, but it just feels looming to me.
Do you know what blows my mind? So, if I was to say to you, JJ, have Bournemouth had a good season this season? Will be answer.
Yes, they've had a good season. Yeah,
they've won 2 more games than us.
Yeah,
I think that's the difference as well.
But that's the difference. Just getting those wins on the board, because say we beat Luton and Palace, you know, after that we're all saying we're happy days, we're staying up. The two games changed everything.
Yep.
But when you've won one in the last 8 or 9, I believe. And failed to beat League One, Blackpool and Bristol within those times, it doesn't fill you with much confidence.
No, I think it's fair to say the relegation scrap is 4-way now. I think it's Brentford, Everton, Forest and Luton battling for that last spot, isn't it? Or battling to not get that last spot. If Forest and Luton were to get wins next week and Crystal Palace were to lose, you could probably draw them into it as well. They are currently 8 points clear of Luton. Drop that down to 5 could be catastrophic for them. But I mean, you know, we're talking about form and wins and that kind of thing. We had, just look at our form there. The last 6 games, we got 1 win. No win for Luton, no win for Burnley, no win for Everton, 1 for Brentford, 1 for Palace. So it's dire for a lot more teams than what we're seeing, I think.
Yeah, I guess we only exist in our own sort of world and ecosystem. But what those other teams don't have is an impending points deduction. As we keep going back to, that's the thing that it hinders you. It does hinder you.
Yeah, absolutely. One word to describe the Luton game next week, JJ?
Monumental.
Monumental. Okay. I'm going to say colossal.
Both sort of the same.
Yeah, fancy way to say huge. Yeah. I'm going to leave you with the inimitable words of Beverly Knight, JJ. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, the last words of a fool.
That's not the song I'm thinking of. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, but I didn't do that.
You're too young for me, you are. If you're listening for the first time, hopefully that didn't put you off. If you've come back again and again and again and again and again, surely that's what you're here for. God knows we love you. Yes.
Aye, Celine Dion. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. That's why.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I suppose I'm a fool, mate. Shoulda, woulda, coulda means a lot of time. Shoulda, woulda, coulda means I changed my mind and I wonder.
Just watch it.